Hello, welcome to our online worship for Faith Community United Methodist Church for April 19th, 2020. It was great to see so many of you last week in our parking lot as we had our drive-in Easter worship service, and it was good to be able to gather together in a sense in our parking lot, in our cars, and to be able to have that sense of community as we worshiped our risen Lord and Savior. And we continue to worship him today, and even though we're not together in the parking lot or in the building, we know that as we gather online that we are one in Christ and one with each other, and we celebrate that connection with each other as we join in worship. I invite you to join with me now responsively as we pray our opening prayer, which comes to us from Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. They drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, and or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And join with us now as we sing our opening hymn, Easter People, Raise Your Voices. Me now for a word of prayer. Sing to us once more, O God, your resurrection song. We have heard it before, but remind us again that you have triumphed over the grave, that you have wiped away our sin, that you have given us new life and invited us into your glorious presence. Make us mindful of your presence, even now as we worship you, each in our own places, but united in your love. Make this place in which we sit a sanctuary to you, O Lord. Consecrate this time of worship. Make it holy and pleasing in your sight. Lord, as we continue through these days of uncertainty, you are our rock. You are our sure and certain hope. Hold on to us, Lord, as we rely upon your grace. Once again, we pray for your interceding mercy, blessing all healthcare workers, all first responders, our military personnel. Bless all essential employees who leave their homes each day to serve others. And bless those who remain in their homes each day, doing their part to stop the spread of the virus. And Lord, we cry out to you to stop the spread of the virus and to heal our world. Heal us not just in body, but in spirit. Give to our leaders a wisdom and a heart to know what is best and to do what is best for all people. Inspire us to do whatever we can to show our love and to show your love to those who feel cut off. And through all this, give us your peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that comes only through salvation that you bring through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. For it is in his name and by his resurrection power that we pray to you now the prayer that he has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you to all of you who have been continuing with your tithes and your offerings to the church during this time that we have been apart. You can make your contributions online on the church website. You can mail a check to the church office. You can also drop off a check through the mail slot that's in the office entryway. Even though the office is not open, there is a mailbox there that is locked. And so those of you who would like to drop it off in person can just stop by and drop it in that locked mail slot, and that will be picked up. Thank you for continuing to give to God and to support the church through your tithes and offerings. And now we have some special music this morning. Stephanie Loop is singing for us, You Did It All For Me. Thank you. Our gospel lesson this week comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And let us sing together now the hymn, "He Lives."
He lives within my heart.
gospel lesson for today says that the doors where the disciples were gathered were locked out of fear. And for good reason. After all, Jesus, the disciples' glorious leader, had been horrendously murdered. The one they had followed for 3 years, the one whom they thought to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Holy One of God, dead, crucified, executed like a common criminal, hung naked from a cross, judged to be a blasphemer by the Jews, a troublemaker by the Romans, and a threat to anyone in any seat of power, Jesus was no more. The blasphemy was silenced. The trouble had been squelched. The threat had been exterminated. Jesus was dead. And what would become of his followers? That was the question on their minds in that locked room. That was the fear which plagued them as they huddled together behind that locked door, shut off from the threat that lingered just beyond. But it's not only those first disciples hiding in that room, is it? With all of the shutdowns in place right now and the current stay-at-home order, we're all locked in our homes, more literally now than ever. To the extent that we're doing that for the good of society, to stop the spread of the coronavirus, that's a good thing, even though we may not like it at the time. But that's not quite the kind of hiding behind locked doors that I'm talking about, or that this scripture is talking about. The disciples were not self-isolating for the good of the community and the protection of their neighbors. They were hiding in fear. And in a sense, we're huddled in there with them, trapped by our own fears, crippled by our own human frailty, our own tendency to anticipate the worst. What is it that has you trapped in that room? John tells us this was taking place on the evening of that first day of the week. In other words, this is still Easter Sunday, the day of Christ's resurrection, but now it's evening time. Keep in mind that that Sunday morning was not a time of joyous celebration for the disciples. They hadn't seen the risen Jesus yet. They still didn't understand the truth. Some things they did know. They knew that the tomb was empty. They didn't know why or how, what had happened to the body. They knew some of the women claimed to have seen Jesus alive, but they didn't know what to make of that either. Luke tells us that the disciples considered these words an idle tale, words of delirium. They thought the women were crazy. The disciples had no idea what had actually happened. But as far as they knew, according to what they assumed to be true, Jesus was still dead, which meant they were still in danger. If the authorities could put Jesus to death, then surely they could put to death anyone who had been his follower or friend. And so the disciples hid, and they continued to hide on that Sunday evening, not knowing what else to do. I get that because I'm just like that. I'm one of those people that when I don't know what to do, I do nothing. Some people will go out and do something, anything, even if it's the wrong thing, not me. Fear tends to paralyze me as it does so many others. So I get what the disciples were doing. They were doing nothing, and of course they were doing nothing because they were paralyzed by fear. We are reminded endlessly that we live in a world spinning out of control. And yet the world within is just as tumultuous. Anxieties over work and relationships that dominate our waking thoughts, concerns about loved ones facing times of trouble that fill our sleepless nights. Am I financially stable? Am I physically healthy? Am I at high risk? Am I liked? Do I fit in? Are we secure? Will this relationship last? Will my job be waiting for me? Will my retirement plan hold out? Will my friend recover? All of these questions and so many others that we can become obsessed about and that may very well render us fear-stricken and paralyzed, locked away emotionally, spiritually, physically, locked away, detached, disconnected from whatever we fear may hurt us or harm us, hiding from the world, hiding from each other, not just isolated in our homes, but trapped within ourselves. What is the fear that has you trapped in that room? And then listen to this amazing sentence of the gospel. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus came into that locked room. They didn't even have to open the door for him. He didn't knock. He just showed up. Inside that chamber of fear, he came to them, and his very first words to them were, "Peace be with you." Jesus comes to us into the center of our darkest fears, into the locked rooms of our troubled hearts, and his words to us are, "Peace be with you." Just as Christ entered into that locked room full of terrified disciples, Christ comes to us in the place of our deepest torment and pain. Whatever the fear is in your life, whatever the sorrow, whatever the pain, Jesus comes to you and stands right in the middle of that room, right in the midst of that situation in your life. And the message he has for you is, "Peace be with you." The disciples were living as if Jesus was still in that tomb, as if death had been the end of Christ, as if death would be the end of them. But then there is Jesus, risen, alive, moving amongst them, proclaiming to them the gift of his resurrection, peace. Have you been living as if Jesus were dead? As if death was the end, as if fear could keep you bound? If so, then know that even now, this very day, Christ is risen, Christ is alive, and Christ is speaking to you these very same words, "Peace be with you." Oh, Jesus may very well be alive, but he can't possibly understand my situation. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through right now. How could Jesus possibly relate to any of that? If that's what you're thinking, or if you have ever thought that, then listen very carefully to the next verse. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. It might sound at first that Jesus was merely demonstrating that it was him, that it really was Jesus. They could recognize him by the nail marks. But there's a deeper dimension here than that. He is not just showing them who he is. He is reminding them of what he has been through. This Jesus, who is alive and is with us even now, is the same Jesus who was rejected by his people, who was deserted by his friends, who was mocked and scourged, who was nailed to the cross, who was pierced in the side. When Jesus shows us his hands and his side, this isn't just about identifying Jesus. This is about Jesus identifying with us. This is Jesus, risen to new and eternal life, is the same Jesus who lived a mortal life filled with pain, who suffered a mortal and painful death. Jesus knows what it is to suffer. Perhaps Jesus knows suffering to a deeper extent than any of us ever possibly could, because he was so perfectly innocent and yet so mercilessly tortured and betrayed. Jesus is not just God in human form. Jesus is God actually become human. This is God taking our sorrows upon himself. This is God taking our suffering upon himself, taking our shame upon himself, taking our punishment upon himself, and redeeming it all through the power of the resurrection. And so the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Not just because they were reunited with their old friend, but because they saw in his wounded flesh who their master really was. He was the one who had suffered every pain imaginable, rejection, betrayal, beating, piercing, murder. He had suffered it all, and yet he is alive. Their Lord had redeemed their mortal lives, and he proved that no matter what trials we are going through, no matter what pain we endure, Christ has proven that he will deliver us to new and joyous life. Our Lord has redeemed our mortal lives through the promise of immortality. How can Christ relate to me? He can relate to me because he lived this mortal life just like me. How can Christ say to me, "Peace be with you," in the midst of such troubling times? Because through his suffering, Christ was raised to new life, bringing to me the promise of new life. There is nothing left to fear, for all things have been redeemed. The power of death is no more. Jesus Christ is raised, and so shall we be. Peace be with you. This was the testament that Jesus left with his disciples before his departure from them. During his farewell address to the gathered disciples the night before he was crucified, Jesus tried to prepare them for what was to come, and among the things that he said to them that night were these words: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And now, just a matter of days later, Jesus stands among his disciples, but this time it is the risen Christ, the fulfillment of all that he had promised, and the first words he says to them, "Peace be with you." As you can tell, the peace that Jesus is speaking about has nothing to do with the absence of conflict or war. He is not suggesting that every situation has been worked out and that everything is smooth sailing from now on. Still, the disciples will face fierce opposition. Still, we will face any manner of trials, but still, we can have his peace. The peace that Jesus is talking about is the Hebrew word shalom. Shalom in Hebrew is inner peace, it's wholeness, integrity. It's a spiritual calm, a sense of assurance. All these things wrapped up in that word shalom, all of them come only from God. Shalom is not a political term or a sociological term, it's a spiritual term. It's a word of faith. Shalom is the peace of Christ, knowing that no matter how bad or how painful things are in the present moment, Christ is with me and he has already redeemed even this situation. Shalom is rightness of relation between me and God and between me and all other people. Shalom is the fullness of life intended for us by our Creator. Shalom is the promise of resurrection. And this shalom, this peace which Christ offers, is the first thing that he speaks to his disciples following his resurrection. Shalom is what resurrection is all about. Because of the promise of eternal life, we can have peace even in this life, even in a troubled world. Shalom. The disciples were gathered in fear. Either they didn't know or they didn't understand the miraculous event that had just taken place. Mary Magdalene had already informed them that she had seen the risen Christ, but for whatever reason, they had not received the truth of it. They were still hiding out in fear. And Christ came to them not in judgment, not to condemn their lack of faith, not to say, where were you when I was hanging on the cross? Why are you hiding behind locked doors? Jesus comes to them and to us in love and in understanding and immeasurable grace, offering the gift of shalom. Peace be with you, he says. And when the disciples see and they realize who this is speaking to them, when they realize the truth and the power of the gospel, Jesus repeats the message again, a second time, before he says anything else to them. He wants this to sink in. Peace be with you. The following week, after Thomas had rejoined the disciples, Jesus comes among them again. Thomas hadn't been there when the risen Christ appeared to the disciples the first time. So Thomas is still where they were a week ago. He's still in a state of fear. Much as he might want to, he can't believe the testimony of his fellow disciples. And notice that Jesus comes to Thomas, just as with the other disciples, not in judgment, not to condemn. He comes to bring peace. He doesn't say to Thomas, why didn't you believe the testimony of your friends? What an awful disciple you are, Thomas. I'm ashamed of you. I'm done with you. No, Jesus doesn't say any of that. Rather, he says to Thomas, just as he does to all of his disciples, just as he does to us, even when we have ourselves locked away by fear, peace be with you. You see, Christ knew Thomas. He knew what Thomas needed, and he came to him in his need, offering the one thing necessary for Thomas to find faith once again. Put your finger here. See my hands. Put your hand out and place it in my side. Christ comes to each of us in our deepest need, and he offers us exactly what we need. He brings us that wholeness which we so desire, that peace which we so long for. And friends, there may not be anything that the world desires more and experiences less than this peace. Between nations, between neighbors, between family members, even within ourselves, peace is in all too short of a supply. You think it's hard finding toilet paper right now? Try finding a widespread sense of peace in the world. Friends, it doesn't matter how long you've been hiding in that locked room. Christ has come through those walls, and he is standing in that room with you right now. It doesn't matter what drove you into that locked room. In the first place, the peace of Christ enters right into the middle of our lives, right into all of the muck and the grime, and he breathes into us a new hope, a new way, a new life. Christ is coming to you in your place of greatest need. He is breathing on you right now the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he is saying to you those words that so many in our world are longing to hear. Peace be with you. Are you hurting because of a past relationship gone wrong? Peace be with you. Are you suffering the consequences of a recent mistake? Peace be with you. Are you plagued with anger and resentment that you know you need to let go of? Peace be with you. Are you trapped in a situation that seems hopeless and you don't know where to turn next? Peace be with you. Are you in the midst of family conflict? Peace be with you. Are you obsessed with political turmoil? Peace be with you. Are you struggling with doubt? Peace be with you. Are you concerned about your eternal salvation? peace be with you. Fear not. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Sin and death shall plague us no more. Eternal life with God has been opened to us. Peace be with you. Shalom. And let us sing of that shalom now as we join in our closing chorus, Shalom to you. Thank you for worshiping with us online once again. We will see you back here again next week for worship. And until then, may the peace of the eternal Christ be with you and remain with you now, in the days to come, and forevermore. Amen.